I want to personally thank all you people that are helping us during this crazy time of our life, and appreciate it very much. Thank Brittany coming over today. Very help. I had got a lot of things done. Monday, Mrs. Mapper came over, and oh, what a blessing. Thank you very much. It's, you have no idea what it is to come to church on two wheels. And it's amazing. As you read the scriptures, it seems likely from the segment of the Psalms that the singer has lost some kind of material. But he's not lost his joy. See, a lot of people that lose and they become very grumpy, very agitated, very just complain, gripe, can be very bitter. But as you read the scripture here, it's very interesting how he just, it just seems like that the fountain of joy comes up in him. Like the noble Hebrew Christian, the psalmist accepted joyfully what may have been ruined to most people. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 34, "For ye had compassion on me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourself that ye have in heaven a better and enduring substance." That calls for more than an usual amount of grace. It is not everyone who can shout hallelujah over such a loss. It's very difficult for some people when they're going through some troubles and heartaches to keep a smile on their face. It's very hard for them to see their loved one sick or maybe diseased, or see their friend going through some very terrible times, or see their sister or brother going through some tough times with their family and their children. It's pretty tough to be joyful in those times. Pretty tough to be joyful when someone who has always been the fortress, or always been the anchor of the home, all of a sudden they fall. A lot of people get very discouraged about those things. But this psalmist, somehow he found this, and ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, that's what I want to always find. I want to find answers. That's why I'm always reading the Word of God. I'm looking for answers to help me during some difficult times in my life. And I do have some of those times. And so do you have some of those times. And if you haven't, you're going to have some of those times. Like the old colored preacher, he was preaching. He said, "Man, I live on a corner of sorrows and troubles." And he said, "I just went past they made a U-turn going through there again." Amen. Let's look and see what the psalmist found. What he had left in him that was more than what he lost. Boy, I'll tell you, I think that's an encouragement to you and me. It is said that robbers lose far more than what those who are robbed. The victims lose their purse. Thieves lose their integrity. "Thou art my portion, O Lord." Nobody could rob this psalmist of that. Nobody can rob you of your joy in the Lord. Joy in the Lord doesn't mean you're always ha-ha and just roll around having a good time. Joy in the Lord says, you know what, I have a hope in the Lord. I know for sure, period. That's it. I know that He's going to take care of me. I know He's going to answer my prayer one way or the other. I know that He is going to look after me and care for me. You do believe that, right? You do believe this, the Word of God from cover to cover. This says, "I will not leave you nor forsake you." You do believe the Bible says that He will put us through some trials and testings that make us stronger. I've never, you know, I was playing football in college, and that coach thought we ought to run around that field a couple more times. Man, our tongue, we were tripping over our tongues that were hanging out so far. I mean to tell you. And he said, "All right, guys, let's do it again." And then he'd say, "Remember Saturday. Remember Saturday afternoon." Well, of course, that's when we had the football games. "Remember." And all of a sudden, those gentlemen who had got above their childish way realized that we were in the fight for our life every Saturday, and we wanted to win. And the man that was the most prepared is the one that wins. The guy that played the hardest in practice is usually the guy that makes the most scores. The trouble is, it takes a lot of gut-wrenching work and sweat until those muscles begin to burn. If they're not burning, you're not doing nothing. His treasures were laid up in heaven, where neither moth nor rust can corrupt, nor thieves can break through and steal. I'm not working for today. I'm working for heaven. And that's what I have to keep telling myself, and that's what you need to keep telling yourself. You are not working just here. You're working for your heavenly home. That is a genuineness of the Bible. The person comes before the precept. In the New Testament, the Lord Jesus expresses it like this. If you love me, keep my commandments. There's a lot of things in this old world you're going to turn to and think that you're going to get your joy. And most of the things you turn to think you're going to get your joy, it is not joyful. The things that are joyful is keeping his commandments. What are his commandments? The word of God. How do I keep his commandments? You just keep serving God, being faithful. You remember when you used to come home when you were a teenager? And you may have done something wrong. Came home, laid in your bed. You had to turn the music on, forget about what you were doing or what you did. Well, the times you came home from church and just had a good little time with your family and went to bed, you didn't have nothing worried. It was good. But the times you didn't do good, it was sad. God says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Fall in love with the Lord Jesus Christ and it will be easier for you to serve the Lord. Abraham, too, discovered the Lord was his portion. He had that sad experience, that lot over the matter of money. The land was not big enough to support him and his cattle, nor Lot. So Abraham did what? He gave way. Go ahead. Take the well-watered plains. Go ahead. I remember Mrs. Evans, who we've had here many times, passed away. God bless her soul. Used to tell us, why don't you give people what they want? Why don't you just go ahead and give people what they want? You're better off when you do that. Kid comes home and says, boy, Mom, I'd sure like to have that. Give it to them. Boy, Dad, I sure... Give it to them. It's better to give it to them than fight for it after you're dead, amen. And they said, well, my dad said that. You got it written down? No. Well, then you don't. And then all of a sudden there's fighting at the house. Anybody ever experienced that? Are you too embarrassed to raise your hand? My mom and dad moved over to my granddad's house because nobody would take care of my grandma and my grandpa. Everybody else is too busy. So when my dad and mom moved into the house, they moved in, it was completely furnished. Though they brought some of their own stuff over there. Every once in a while, some of our members of our family would come and say, hey, that's grandma's, we want that. Well, that's my dad's, we want that. My dad, he was gracious. Nobody came to help my mom. Nobody, my grandma. My grandmother broke her hip. She was in a walker. She could not get around. My granddad died with a cerebral hemorrhage. And before he did, he was bedridden, and my little mama and dad took care of him. We never went on vacation because nobody's there to take care of them. But once my grandpa died and my grandma died, everybody wanted stuff. My dad finally said, folks, this is the way it is. Wrote all of them a letter. He said, listen, I want you to come to the house and take whatever you want. They came in, took the piano. They it's good stuff. I'm a little kid. I'm going like, hey, what is this? You know, where were you? They wouldn't even see my grandma and grandpa for years. I'm going like, my dad taught me something. He said, son, none of this is ours. And he gave away. Finally, he said, hey, you know, they started saying that stuff that my dad and mom had bought was there. Well, it was grandpa. No, it's not grandpa. That's ours. We bought it, okay? He said, how could that? Yeah, Christian families. Good Christian families. It's an amazing thing. By the way, listen to me. It's going to happen to your life too. Best thing to do is just give it away. You know what I got from my dad? I got his Bible. What'd you get from your mother? I got her Bible. I got a black powder rifle that I turned right around and gave to my son, that's a big deal for him. That's just about it. Hey, you know what? I got so much junk at my house, I'm trying to get rid of that stuff too. It burns, it rusts, it fades away, it wears out. Relationships are the most important thing of your life. I thought it'd be a good idea. I wrote down all the weapons I have, and I put the grandkids' name under it. Something happens to me. I gave all three of my boys a copy of that. So there's no question. Nobody gets upset. Trouble is, I keep buying them, and I got to put names on them. We live in such a selfish world. We're afraid somebody else is going to get something. In my home, in the basement of my house, there is something that a family member just had to have, but now they don't want it. I said, you take off. Oh, we don't want it. But boy, oh boy, when things are getting given out, they sure wanted it. Isn't that incredible? Huh? I'm just telling you that in the life that we live, there are certain things that are very invaluable to us. You know what that is? Relationships. Do everything to keep your relationships. Call your mom, call your dad, call your grandma, call your grandpa. Call your aunts and uncles. Keep a relationship with them. Tell them you love them. Write them a letter. Send them something. Boy, I found out something really... I forgot my daughter-in-law's birthday. Sarah lives down in South Carolina. And I found out that you could go on the internet and order 5 pounds of sugarless gummy bears. I had that baby ordered, and I'm telling you what, she called me up and says, Pa, I can't believe what you sent me. I said, yeah, I'm good. Don't tell her I was late. Amen. Mrs. Evans used to say, why don't you give people what they want? You know, some of you people tease your children and ask for something. You just tease them and tease them. Finally, give in on them. Now, that's making it inconsistent because you're going to find out that now when they ask for something and you won't want to give it to them, they're going to hound you and hound you and hound you and hound you. Where are you at? Instead of saying yes or no. The Bible said, let your yeas be yeas and your nays be nays. Here, let Lot first choose, Abraham said. And with a greedy eye of gain, Lot chose the side, not by sight, not by faith. He took the well-watered plains of Jordan, regardless of the character of the Sodomites who lived down there. Abraham watched him go. Then the Lord appeared to him, and he did so offer in crisis of Abraham's life. Abraham still had the Lord. Having him, he had everything. He hadn't lost anything. He is going to get it all back. Genesis chapter 13, verse 14 through 18, he learned the same lesson in the next chapter of his life, still over Lot's selfishness. He had to go rescue Lot and the king of the east. Instead of being grateful, Lot went back to Sodom. He had staked his claim to those well-watered plains and his proposal cities had doubted them, and he didn't care. He was not going to give it up. Abraham sadly watched him go, and God appeared to Abraham, and God said, "Abram, fear not. I am thy shield. I am thy exceeding great reward." Genesis 15:1. Hey, who do you want? You want God as your reward? Or what you can snatch and grab? In the Lord, we have a very large portion. We remember how Joseph was dwelt with by his brothers, how they sold him down to Egypt. Yet, they did not know the man at the right hand of Pharaoh. They had no idea who it was, although he knew them. He sat them down at the feast in his presence and gave them all portions. He related to all them. So he gave them all a portion. But when it came to Benjamin, a special portion, five times as much as the others, and Benjamin was more closely related to him than all the others, it looked forward typically to the day when glorious one at God's right hand will manifest his own to the splendor that is beyond the skies. All Israel will feast in his presence, and all Israel will receive their portion. But there is Benjamin, the church. And the church is going to get a special portion, a worthy portion, since the church is related to him in a special and unique way. Heaven is going to be a good day, a good time. Amen. Well, the land was divided between the 12 tribes. Levi was not included. Ephraim and Manasseh represented Joseph. So in them, Joseph received a double portion, but Levi received a new territorial grant. Just a number of towns scattered here and there throughout their tribes. Still, Levi did not lose out by getting the Lord as his portion, not even financially. Levi received the tithe from 11 tribes by faith. Those tribes had to tithe their income, and the tribes had 9/10 left. And after the tithe, the 11th, 1/12 portion went to Levi. Each tribe received 9/10. Levi received 11/10. So even in the term of cold cash, Levi had more. But that is not the point. The point was that Levi had the Lord. We have the Lord. Thou art my portion, O Lord. We can sing as Charles Wesley, "Thou, O Lord, are all I want. More than all in Thee I find. I have said that I would keep Thy word." See, the sneering skeptic might say, "So you have been robbed. Now, where's your God?" The psalmist would say, "Just where He's always been, close at my side. Nothing has changed. I'm still going to keep His word. I can think no better rule of life, and certainly not to rule the life amplified by those who run off with my purse. If you think I'm going to change my philosophy of life, rooted and grounded in the Word of God, just because of somebody else has no respect to God's word, you're mistaken." These things are happening in our country today. The falsehood, the lies, the stupidity, ignorance. America was founded on justice. They say, "Well, everybody's always shooting at us." Well, don't do wrong. They won't shoot at you. That's a good idea. Isn't that clever? Don't go rob a bank. Don't go into a convenience store. Don't go into a liquor store and bust the windows out and steal all. Don't go up there. They won't shoot at you. But you go in there, you're going to suffer the consequences. We rule by law.
Whether
that some of the people up in hierarchies in America today say we don't go by law, let me tell you something. Americans go by the law. We live by the law. Aren't you glad? Anarchy is not good. This psalmist says, I'm going to live by law. I don't care what you do. You can rob and you can steal. You come and plummet everything I have. But I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to live by the law. I'm going to live by the Word of God. That's a good rule. Hey, you know what? You won't get a speeding ticket if you're driving the speed limit. Except down south in Kentucky sometimes. Or South Carolina. They just need a little more money down there. But be honest with you. Hey, they're not going to come drag you out of the house if you're in there. If you don't go shooting somebody else. We live by the law. Aren't you glad we live by law? I'm glad we have a stop sign. I'm glad we have stop lights. I'm glad we have a white line down the road. I'm just glad that they stay on their side. Amen. Listen, what Somers is old that he would keep God's word. No matter what happened. I wish you'd do that. I'm going to keep what the Bible says. I'm going to live what the Bible says. No matter if it looks like it's going to be bad, no, it looks like it's going to be nothing, I'm still going to live by the Lord. Listen to what he says. I entreat thy favor with my whole heart. Be merciful unto me according to thy word. The psalmist knew that he too was sinful and an erring man, just as much as he was in need of mercy like everybody else. All of us are sinners. All of us do things wrong. Don't you look at me like that. Yes, you do. Had a little boy one time. I'm trying to talk to him about Jesus. I said, you know, you're a sinner. He said, I am not. I said, are you telling me you obey your mommy every time? Every time. I said, how about your dad? Every time. And I mean, I went here and there through the orchard, up and down in the back of the barn. I came back and finally I got him. Because his mama said, hey, I need you to come here. She said, no. I said, you're a sinner. I wanted to also say, you're a big liar too. Shakespeare said, aren't you excited about this? The quality of mercy is not sustained. It droppeth as a gentle rain from heaven upon the place beneath. It is twice blessed. It is blessed him that giveth and him that taketh. The mightiest in the mightiest, it becomes a throne monarch better than the crown. When a person throws himself on the mercy of human court, he relies on the temper and will of the judge. An appeal to God's mercy is on surer ground. That mercy, as the psalmist reminds us, is according to thy word. So now you can go home and say the preacher quoted Shakespeare. God has promised mercy. He would rather show mercy than wrath. God is a God of tender mercy. His mercy, however, is to be implored in accordance to the term revealed in the Word of God. Jesus once told a story and he showed how mercy of God works. He told of two men that went up to the temple to pray. One of the men was smug, complacent, self-righteous Pharisee who came to tell God how good he was. And Jesus says with fine sarcasm that he prayed with himself. God did not even hear him. The other man was a wretched publican, burdened down with a sense of sin and shame. He would not so much as lift his head, but beat his breast in agony of despair. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. That was his cry. And the Bible said, Jesus said, he went away forgiven. Freely and forever. That is the condition of God's mercy. We must speak it consciously of our deep need. We do not plead our innocence, but we plead our guilt. We do not appeal our case. We plead guilty to sue for mercy. That's what the psalmist requested. The word translated fervor in the face of the original text, I entreat thy face. Therefore, nothing like face-to-face conduct when you're seeking fervor. The psalmist had something to tell us in the path that he had chosen, journey of life. He had chosen the way. Years ago, we were trying to get an opportunity to put a sign on the end of the road. And Great Falls Gas Company owned that, which is what, Northern Energy today? Is it Northern Energy? And me, with my pleasingly charm, I thought I'd walk up to the Northern Energy president and say, this is what we got going on. And he would not give me a talk. He wouldn't let me talk to him. I call him on the phone. He wouldn't return my call. Call him on the phone. Wouldn't return my call. And finally, I got old secretary. I said, say, I'd like to. He said, what do you need? I said, this what? He said, I'll talk to him. I said, well, I'd like to talk to him. I said, he's busy. I said, okay. Next day, he got a call and says, sure, you can do it. It's all signed. Because I know that many times when I see a person face-to-face instead of on the telephone or emailing somebody or texting stuff, I know if I can see them face-to-face, I can see in those little old blue eyeballs or brown eyeballs or green what they're thinking. I like to know who I'm talking about. I hate when I have to text because I don't know how they're taking it. Some people, I want to be funny and I write it and then they don't think I'm very funny. And they say, what was that all about? Reminded the man, he said, after it took me 2 minutes to write you a text, I think that you ought to at least say something more than K. It's time to go. This thing is so full. So full. We will leave off there for next week. Let's stand. Hey, would you look at people around just see them and encourage them? A lot of people out there hurting. See where you can help somebody. I like that song, Help Somebody Today. That's a good song. Well, Nancy's too tired to come forward, I can see. So, let's pray. Father, thank you for tonight. Lord, I pray that just something tonight would get our hearts to move towards you and to move towards people. Lord, there's a lot of people that do a lot of robbing, a lot of people that take advantage, a lot of people do things bad. Dear God, it is not our responsibility to be the judge. You said, Lord Jesus, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I'll repay. A lot of families have split up. A lot of families never get together anymore. Reunions are vacant places anymore. Because somebody wanted something that supposedly grandma said that they could have. But some other sister already got to it. Dear God, I pray that we would not be like that. Lord, we would be the givers, not the takers. We would be the peacemakers. Lord, help us in our home to give people what they want. Help us, Lord Jesus, realize that life is so short. God, help us to be on guard to make sure we make the right decision and we'll say the right things. God, we love you tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed.